Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for all that you've done to gather us into this place that you have called the church. And as we've understood more and more the blessing of this which you've gathered together, help us to understand the blessing of being able to use the gifts that you've given us to serve you and serve one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Being a servant can be a very challenging thing. Now, I don't know if any of you in your careers in life have officially had the title of being a servant, and that you worked for someone in that way. But being a servant implies that I set aside my desires, my needs, my wants, and I take direction from someone else. And many times doing not what I want, but what they need me to do. And so when you think about being a servant, in our gospel lesson today, Jesus taught his disciples, and we're going to look at that a little bit more, and said, life in my church, in my kingdom, is not about being served, but about serving. And so when you think about that, you know, what makes it so difficult to be a servant? Perhaps a couple things that came to my mind, that naturally I think we like to be served. We like when people do things for us. And sometimes it's expected, right? You go out to dinner and you have a waiter or waitress and they are there to serve you. Or in different settings, perhaps like you're out on a vacation, you're at a hotel. It's perhaps one of those times where you don't have to make your bed because there's someone else there who can serve you in that way. It's nice to be served, right? We enjoy it. When our spouse does something for us to serve us, we appreciate that. We enjoy that. But then when it comes time to serve someone else, what makes it difficult is, perhaps just simply put, it's just inside of us, our sinful nature loves to be self-centered and to focus on my needs and what I want. And so when the opportunity comes, we think of other things that we need to do, or I have these things I need to get done. And as a result, we at times struggle with this concept of service and being a servant. And I would say that even in the body of Christ, even in the church, if we understood this perfectly, we wouldn't have to have teaching about it in the Scripture and be reminded of the joy that comes and the opportunity that we have as God's people to gather together, and one of those purposes to be to serve God and to serve the people around us. But like I said, we need some reminders and encouragement to ensure that we have that joy in serving and find the blessing in serving and using the gifts that God has given us to serve one another. So three things that I want to bring to our attention and remind us about this morning in regard to service, why God has made as a key part of his gathering, the church, as we read in the Old Testament, that he's forming a people to declare his praises. We'll come back to that. The first thing to be reminded of is service begins with Jesus. And that's what Jesus taught his disciples. And it's interesting because James and John were struggling with this concept of what is life like in the kingdom of God, because they were good Jewish boys who understood and were brought up to realize that this kingdom that the Messiah was going to bring would reestablish the kingdom of David, and there would be a place where now there'd be a physical presence and a physical organization in which the Messiah would reign, and their thinking was that there would also be people to reign with the Messiah. And so James and John are figuring this out, realizing Jesus is the Messiah and that perhaps his kingdom is very close to being established, and they want to get, so to speak, a foot in the door. And so they come to Jesus and say, give us whatever we ask. Now, if you as parents, your kids came to you or grandkids and said, give to me whatever you ask, I don't think you'd initially say, okay, whatever you ask, right? And even Jesus, he knows their hearts, but he gives them an opportunity to express what's on their mind. Before he agrees to the deal, he says, what are you asking? And James and John then chime in and say, can we have a position on the right and on the left? Now, as brothers, they weren't squabbling about who would be on the right or the left, but they knew that in the kingdom, a position of power and a position of control and a position of being served would be to the right or to the left of the Messiah. They recognized that Jesus was the top and he was the Messiah, but they wanted the secondary positions. And that was in their mind, that they thought, we've invested all this time in Jesus, right? We've given up our fishing careers. We have followed Jesus. We've given up everything to follow him. We don't know these thoughts. I'm just perceiving that this might be going through their mind, of saying, we have given all this up for Jesus. In his kingdom, it's time for people to give up things for us. Does that happen sometimes even in our setting, in our hearts? It's like, I give this all up for Jesus. I have done all these things. I have served for a long time. It's time for someone else to serve me. I know I feel that way sometimes. Right? That as much as we enjoy serving others, there's times where we just, can someone just serve me right now? And for that little moment, we become the center of our little universe, and we want to be in a position next to our Savior that someone serves me. And James and John wanted that position. And whatever their position and whatever their perception was, it seems like they also thought, this will be cool because now we can tell other people what to do. Right? If you have a position to the right or to the left of the commander-in-chief, so to speak, you get to call the shots when the commander-in-chief doesn't. It's a place of control. It's a place of making others do what you want. Even if it isn't inherently serving you, you get to call the shots. And again, Jesus is going to correct this thinking. And James and John, I love the group of disciples that Jesus assembled, because in each one of them, we can see ourselves at times, right? And perhaps we wouldn't be as bold to ask something like this, but I know at times it's nice to be served. And we want to call the shots and have the final say. And Jesus is going to teach James and John and teach us. But before I get there, if you're looking at your gospel lesson in your worship folder, what I find interesting in this account, James and John come to Jesus, Jesus interacts with them, give us this right and left position. Did you notice the reaction of the other 10? They didn't go, hey, you know what? Yep, James and John, they deserve this. Jesus, I'm so glad they asked you because we were kind of thinking the same thing, and James and John are kind of the top of the top, and I think they'll be a great right and left-hand help to you in your kingdom. Not at all, right? Completely the opposite. These guys come, and their hearts were indignant. Now, when you hear that word, what emotion comes to mind? James and John, what are they thinking? There's kind of two reactions that perhaps are behind this indignant. How come we didn't think of that? Doggone it. Now they're going to be the right and left. We're going to have to serve them. Right? Or thinking, who are they? Who are James and John? I mean, we've given up our lives. We follow Jesus too, and they perhaps have some level of jealousy that, why do they deserve it more than we? And again, it's a good reminder because sometimes when God uses people in positions to lead and to serve, to guide and direct, we can become perhaps jealous of that position. Or how come we didn't think of that? And the disciples weren't thinking about others, they were thinking about themselves. And so Jesus gets them all together, calls a disciple huddle and say, okay, let's learn a lesson. And he teaches his disciples that, you know what you're thinking about makes sense because that's how the world thinks. You see, the Gentiles think that lording it over, having control, having power, having people serve you is the epitome of being at the top. He says that's what the world naturally thinks, that the Gentiles lord it over them, their high officials exercise authority of them. Now Jesus transitions, he says, not so with you. If you want to be great, you must be the servant. Be first, be a slave. And then here's the key. For the Son of Man who deserved to be served, to be at the top, said, that's not my purpose. The Son of Man, Jesus himself, did not come to be served, but to serve. And he defines that by giving his life as a ransom for many. You see, when we think about how Jesus served us, he put our needs first. He stepped out of heaven for the single purpose because he loved you. He came here to serve you and me. He came to do what I was incapable of doing myself. There's no way I could give enough back to God to earn his favor. But Jesus says, I'm going to do this for you because I love you. And even though he could have claimed, serve me, he said, I am going to serve you, and ultimately gave his life by living it perfectly, gave his life physically on the cross, and rose to life on Easter morning to assure you that his service for you is complete. And Jesus wanted his disciples, wants you and me to realize that our opportunity to serve one another only happens when we first understand and rejoice in and find complete contentment in the service that Jesus gave to each one of us. You see, that's what gathers the church together, is the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's what motivates and that's what drives the church of God to serve. Because you realize how much you have been served by your Savior Jesus. You realize that it wasn't about him, but it was about the people that he came to give his life for. Which leads to the second point. Service is others-oriented. Service is others-oriented. I direct your attention to 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. And as I read this on your message notes, or just take a mental note, to just underline the phrases that speak about our activity towards others. The end of all things is near, Peter writes. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sin. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. Did you notice? I underlined at least three, and perhaps you could allude to others. Love each other. Offer hospitality to one another. Use the gifts God has given to serve one another. You see, service is others-oriented, and we fight against this because inside it's like, well, we're almost, at times, we serve others, kind of chalking up favors. So someday we can call in the favor with someone and say, well, I've served you all these times, now I think you owe me something. And God is saying, let's not keep track. Service doesn't keep track. When we serve others in the way that Jesus served us, it's purely from a heart that wants to express love for others. And as we serve one another, we realize the joy of being a blessing to one another. And it's interesting because even in these words that Peter writes, he also addresses our sinful nature, right? He says, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. What the natural self wants to do is keep track, right? Well, you did this to me. I'm not going to do this to you, right? Why should I serve you? Because you've been mean to me. You said these things. How come? Whatever, right? And our natural sinful nature, whether it's in the church or outside the church, in the workplace, in our home life, it's like I start to think, you don't deserve my service because of how you've treated me. And it's interesting that Peter addresses that, and he says, you know what? Love covers over a multitude of sins. I wonder if in Peter's mind, remember all the things Peter did, but especially denying his Savior in the midst of his suffering, he says, I don't know you, I don't know the man. Three times he denied him, and then Jesus came back in love and covered over a multitude of sins. You see, what empowers us to serve, again, is the love that Jesus has shown to us. And the reason that we can love each other is because God in Christ first loved us. Otherwise, we couldn't, because our natural self wants to keep track. And Jesus says, let's not keep track. But with the same love you've been loved with, let's love one another and realize how much love covers over a multitude of sin. That doesn't mean it leaves sin unaddressed or discounts the law of God, but when we deal with each other in grace and in love, we stop keeping track and keeping records because we know we're forgiven in Christ. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Again, I love these phrases because it kind of gets inside and said, you know what? I love to serve, but not today. I don't want to serve. You know, it's Sunday morning, and, right? And so we come with a smile on our face, and you do what you are asked to do, or you do what you've signed up to do or volunteer to do, but inside, right? It happens. Maybe I'm the only one at times. My guess, it happens, right? That our sinful nature, even though we go through the motions of serving inside, we're kind of grumbling a little bit. And Peter points out, let's do it without grumbling. But how can I do that? Again, I go back to my Savior Jesus, who completely and perfectly served me without grumbling. Right? He didn't hang on the cross and go, dirty, rotten sinners, I don't know why I'm up here on the cross doing this. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. It is finished. Right? So that's what makes service in the church around the love of Christ so joy-filled. And the third, one another, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. And you say, where's the part that kind of pricks my conscience in this? I like to use the gifts God has given me to serve me. I like to do things for my own benefit. And this reminds me that the gifts that God has given me are to be a blessing to you. And the gifts that God has given you are to be a blessing to one another. And that's why God has assembled here in what he calls the church such a variety and a diversity of gifts. I look out from this position and I see all of you as redeemed children of God in whom God has given gifts. I know that because the scripture says that when we are connected to Christ, the Holy Spirit gives gifts to each one of you just as he determined. And I'm so grateful that God has given each of you different gifts than he's given to me. Yet we have one and the same Spirit. And that we create an opportunity and we create space for those different gifts to be used and to be a blessing to one another. And we look around, we look across, we look behind us, and we see people we are grateful for because God has given them gifts. Now, perhaps as seasons of life change, how I use those gifts may vary, but that's okay. And as God lifts the gifts that he gives and a section of scripture such as 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're baptized into one Spirit, you are the body of Christ. He gives all these different gifts, Whether it's the gifts of prophecy, the gifts of interpretation, the gift of wisdom, knowledge, teaching, all these gifts that God has given, the gifts of service, the gift of music, the gift of hospitality, the gift of praying, the gift of serving, whatever it is. Each one of you has been given gifts to serve first your Savior and second one another. On your sheet, I asked the question, what is your vision of what happens when each one uses whatever gifts they have received to serve others? I don't know what your vision is, but when I see the body of Christ as it's described in the Bible, and I look at what God is assembling here at Cross and Crown for His kingdom work at this time in this place, what an amazing set of gifts. I don't want any gifts sitting on the sidelines. I don't want anybody saying, you know what, I don't have anything to offer and someone else can do. No. If God has you here and there's still air moving through your lungs and blood through your veins, you have gifts to be a blessing to others. And when God is ready to say, well done, good and faithful servant, and your room in heaven is ready, He'll restore your body to a perfect nature and you'll get to start an eternity of serving your Savior. This is just a warm-up. And to look around and see what God is assembling and to see how He's using those gifts, that we can appreciate and value each other's gifts. That's what I see. I see a culture and an atmosphere where there's joy in serving in many different ways. And just because one person doesn't have a gift and another person does, so be it. That means God's got us work to do. When I see new people come, it's not like, phew, I don't have to do that anymore. I'm like, what does God have in store? Because He's giving us more gifts. When someone decides to move to a different part of the kingdom, I'm like, okay, God must have use of their gifts at a different time in a different place. What a wonderful picture this body of Christ is. And no one of us make up the body of Christ, right? If one person says, well, I want to be the ears and the nose and the head and the hands and the feet and the knees and the ligaments and the heart, etc., you'll be exhausted and the body won't function well. But when each of us finds our place and uses our gifts that God has given us to serve Him and serve one another, what an amazing, amazing vision to not just dream about, but to see. Service is others-oriented. Service is focused on Jesus. And finally, service has as its primary purpose the glory and praise of God. Peter finishes this little section, if anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory. What a great reminder for us as God's people, because sometimes, yes, there is a temptation to make it about us because we have that sinful nature we're going to have to continue to fight against. And sometimes it's a reminder to me to look around and say, well, sometimes I have the temptation. You may have it too at times, like, well, they're just doing that to get a name for themselves, or they're just doing that for their own self. No. You see, I'm convinced that when Jesus works in our heart and the Holy Spirit converts and changes us to love Him and be filled with His Spirit, our motivation changes. And no matter how we serve and where we serve, we play to an audience of one, first and foremost. And that's to our Savior. And as I look around and see people serving, whether they are more prominent positions or the ones behind the scene, I see people using the gifts God has given them for one purpose, to glorify God. And so as a body of believers that God has assembled to serve him, what a joy service is and can be and God wants to be. And I know Satan messes it up and he gets our sinful nature to rear its ugly head, and that's why we approach each other in love and grace, and we need that from each other. And we need God's Spirit to restore a right spirit within us and restore the joy of salvation, because sometimes, yes, service gets discouraging, and but service in God's church is one of the reasons he's brought us together, to enjoy serving our Savior Jesus, who served us by giving his life as a ransom for many, and to use the gifts that God has given to us to serve one another. The body of Christ and our little niche of it here in Georgetown, Texas. What a wonderful thing God is doing as he's gathering all of us, redeemed, gifted children of God, to serve him and to serve one another. As Peter concluded, to him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. May God's peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus, now and always. Amen.